So we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Whew. Really, believe it or not, I'm out of breath. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we were looking at, there's a whole series mentioning that these were plural types, translated examples in the King James Version. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, but with many of them, that's Israel in the context, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's their death. Now these things, plural things, were our examples. What things? He's going to name the things in verses 7 through 10. So he's going to name the examples, the types, in verses 7 through 10 from the Old Testament that are examples of things that Christians should not lust after. They should not follow their example and lust and be tempted and bear the consequences of sin from these things. Now, these things were our examples. That word examples is types. To the intent we should not. Now he's talking to Christians, not Israel, but he's making a contrast of Israel to Christians. That we, not Israel, we. They did it. They are set by God as a type. A type is a specific pattern. And here it says these patterns of lust after evil things as they also lusted. Then we covered verse 7. Neither be idolaters as some of them, as it is written. So it goes back to the scriptures and it tells us exactly what idolatry is being spoken of. And this is the golden calf passage. This is where they came out of Egypt and they made the golden calf because they thought Moses was gone too long and was embarrassed to come back. And so they made a calf and they actually called it Jehovah. So they made a calf and they people did rise up, eat, drink, and rose up to play. That play is physical physical orgy type of thing. Let's leave it there. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3 and 20,000. This is talking about Balaam and what happened, and we were discussing this, that Balaam was an Old Testament prophet. He was a real Old Testament prophet. And Balaam, Balak, the king, wanted to, Israel was coming into the land. He wanted to destroy them so that they didn't get in the land. And he wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And God wouldn't allow him. He was a real prophet of God and he could not curse Israel. So Balaam, who has several things that are spoken of him in the New Testament. One is the wages of Balaam. What would that be? What did Balaam like? Huh?
What did he like?
Yeah, with wages, money. And so here he had an office as a prophet. He didn't have a spiritual gift as a prophet, no spiritual gift. But he was a prophet of God. He held the position as a prophet of God. And he sold that ability for money. What's the next thing that he did? He made an error. It's called in the New Testament the error of Balaam. What mistake did he make? Okay, yeah, it was a mistake, but that's not the specific one. But that's a good shot at it. He thought that if Israel sinned and worshipped Baal, a false god, in idolatry, that God would destroy them. Jehovah would destroy them. That was his mistake. No, God said even if he destroyed all of them, he'd raise up the nation out of Moses. Remember? That's another thing. But then you have the doctrine of Balaam, and that brings us to Revelation chapter 2, and that's what this is talking about. It's talking about fornication that was taught by Balaam. And so what kind of doctrine, fornication, did Balaam teach? Well, we were in Revelation chapter 2. And verse 14. This is the church of Pergamos. It says, "But I have a few things against thee." This is the pastor of the church, the bishop of the church, the one who's overseeing the church. Christ had a few things against him. "Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine." Now, this is a doctrine to be practiced of Balaam. So there was more than one person there in the church. By the way, this indicates that the pastor knew it was wrong. He knew these people shouldn't be there, but what was he doing? He had them there. He had them at the church. He didn't stand up and say, "What you're teaching is wrong. You need to stop that right now or get out." More than once in my ministry, I've had to do that. By the way, to be honest with you, many times a good number in the flock that I was pastoring did not like what I did. I did it anyway because I was protecting the flock. Helen knows, she was there. It was pretty rough sometimes. One thing about a pastor's wife, I want to tell you something. Pastors sit up here and we're kind of, after a while, we get kind of leathered skin. I still get touched up on some things. But you're going to look at us and you think we're hard-headed, thick-skinned individuals, to a certain degree, not totally. But we get up here and do things. I want you to always remember the ones who are sitting there who get a lot of the blunt for what we do is our wives. And there's a lot of things that Helen had to bear because I stood up there and took action. But that was God's will for her. And she was faithful through it. Back to this. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, king, to cast a stumbling block before the children, the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So this is one thing we're going to come back to now because we gave you the homework. So he told Balak that if he took his young gals, and from the world system, Israel was to be a separate nation. He told them that if he brought in, this shows us how strong the work of the flesh is. There are sexual works of the flesh that Pastor Schaefer has been going over. They are strong. And he said, if you bring these gals in, the men will get attracted to them. They'll start, it's going to use the world's term, hooking up together. And as they are together, the doctrines from the world system of idolatry, of Baal, in that context, will start to be adopted by the men, which they did because you even have this in the New Testament where Paul says that if you're married to a wife, what's the man going to do? Try to please his what? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, his wife. So there are many men who have given up their beliefs because of the influence of a woman. Now, let me be justified another way. I also know, I don't want to name because I still know this gal. She's friends with me on Facebook. There was a guy who came in from the world system with a young gal. She knows who she is. And she came in and he danced the dance, said the words because he wanted that girl. And he was a phony baloney. And after a while, it influences everybody. Gets there. So it's not just guys begin to give things up to please the woman, but I've seen it the other way too, where the gals get mixed up with an unsaved guy, and then after a while, to please that person, they start compromising their beliefs and giving them up and doing those things. Okay. So Balaam taught Balak to do that, and it did happen, and we went through that. But I asked you, what's the difference between another gal that's mentioned, that's Jezebel, which is down in verse 20. In verse 20, we have the church of Thyatira. The name means continual sacrifice. And it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, he allowed. Here's again, a bishop, a pastor, who permitted this woman to bring in false doctrine. Jezebel. Now, I want you to note something, which calls herself a prophetess. She's named after a woman who was in the Old Testament, Jezebel. Anybody name their daughter Jezebel here? That wasn't something on your name list when we had our two daughters. You didn't say that with Joyce. We said, okay, we can name her Joyce or we can name her Jezebel. Oh, let's put the names in a hat because I'm just not sure which one we want to pick. And do it. No, we didn't do that. Don't want to name you. Jezebel was a wicked woman. She was, again, outside of Israel, not a Jew. And she came in and she married the king, Ahab. And in being with Ahab, by the way, she painted herself. She was a flirt. She flirted with other people. She was flirting with one of the captains, and the captain just didn't fall for it and told the men, go up in the window and throw her out. And he did. Threw her out, and she hit the bottom. And then he says, well, she's a princess or something, so we should bury her. So he said, go get her and bury her. And when they went, all they could find is her hand, because from the siege, the dogs in the street were so hungry from famine that when her body went in the street, they just gobbled her up. And they found the hands. Anyway, that's Jezebel. She don't want to name your daughter Jezebel. By the way, if you're a guy, you don't want to name your son Ichabod. Okay? That means forsaken. Put over the temple, Ichabod. Ichabod Crane, the school teacher. Sleepy Hollow, forsaken. Okay? Don't want to name your kids that. You can, but I guess Johnny Cash had the girl, a boy named Sue. You do that. So Jezebel here is the namesake of the Jezebel in the Old Testament. But note what I'm saying right now. Jezebel brought in her doctrine, and again, Israel followed her teaching and worshiped Baal. I think it was Baal there. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. But note, this is not the Old Testament Jezebel. This is a woman in the church. So this is someone who is in the church, and she says she's what? Let's go on. Calls herself, she's calling herself, reflexive pronoun, doesn't say God did, doesn't say the Holy Spirit made her a spiritual gifted prophet, but calls herself a what? Prophetess. So what's the difference? This is what we gave you the homework for. I don't know if any of you looked at it during the week. What's the difference between this and Balaam, first of all? She's different than the Old Testament Jezebel. She's the namesake. She does something that's similar to the old Jezebel. She's bringing into the church. The old Jezebel brought into Israel false doctrine. This one is a prophetess. What does a prophetess do? Brings new revelation. So she's in the church and she's claiming to have a be gifted. She called herself a prophetess. She's gifted in the early church. And what is she saying she's bringing? So picture someone in a congregation in the local church who's standing up and saying she's speaking for who? God. She's receiving revelation. So what is she doing if she's in the church? She's receiving revelation and she's adding it. And by adding it to genuine New Testament, she's bringing new revelation. She's adding it to existing revelation. And she's saying it harmonizes. And it's something for the church to practice. And what should this pastor have done? By the way, how do you judge anything? What's the standard that we use to judge anything? Scripture. We compare Scripture to Scripture. So if someone comes up, even if they don't claim to be a prophetess today, saying they're bringing new revelation, but let's say they stand up and they start teaching something. Dan, you know this. You did it in Salem. I remember when you used to be in Salem, you did this. Good, good. He stood up when men were teaching down there, and he stood up and he said, I remember he used to give me pages and pages of things he would write and say, and he wanted to know, am I online here? And then he went after those guys because he compared what they said to Scripture. So they should have took the New Testament that they had at the time, should have went up and said, quiet, get out, get out. But he permitted, he allowed her to go on. By the way, in this context, this woman, we haven't even talked about what she did, but in this context, does she leave the local church? I asked you to study this week. Huh? Okay, she doesn't leave on her own, but it says somebody's going to cast her out. All right, let's read on. To teach and to seduce my servants. So she was so good that by her teaching, she was seducing, causing to wander away my servants. That's my slaves. It's Christ. It's real believers are being influenced by this woman's new revelation, adding it to grace. And once you add it to grace, it's not correct. To commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is spiritual fornication. And in this, it has to do with eating, ingesting, something in a worshipful form in this doctrine towards idols. It says, and I gave her. Now, who gave her space to repent? Christ. I gave her space to repent of her spiritual fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will what? So Christ casts her out. How? I don't know. I will cast her into a bed. What's the bed? I don't know. It's another location. It's a place for fornicating. It's a marriage bed of fornication. So there is a change here, and when there's a change in the people she affects. I will cast her into a bed. I don't know what that is. I've read some, I just don't know. Maybe Pastor Schaefer knows. It could be a church building. I don't know. I have no idea. It doesn't say here, but it's a location. If it's a bed, it's some kind of place where there's a marriage relationship of this fornication. And then, I don't know, some people say it's Rome. I don't know. I'm just telling you it's a location, a bed for this adultery. and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. So what's the change from my servants? Now it's them who adulterize themselves with her are going to go into the tribulation period. Do believers go into the trib? No. So what can we say? That once Christ casts her into the bed, there's a separation from true believers from her and her fornicating, and the people that are adopting this spiritual fornicating doctrine are going to go into the tribulation. They're not saved. Except they repent of their deeds, they'd have to become believers. And I will kill her children. This is interesting, because here this prophetess had a doctrine, and she's separated from my servants into a bed of adultery that's over here, and there are people joining themselves to it that are unsaved people. But now there's going to be offspring from that. What does that mean? That from that doctrine that she taught originally, it's going to give birth to children, other doctrines that are similar, that are going out. She's going to give birth with her adultery and the people who are with her. There's going to be offshoots of that. That's children that are going to go out and further take these doctrines out there. And her children, and I will kill her children with death. I think that's physical death. And all the churches will know that I am, so forth. So we have two things here. First of all, Balaam. Let's go back to 2:14. Balaam was physical fornication that then went to what? Spiritual fornication. So first of all, they hooked up with someone they shouldn't have been hooked up with, and then adopted their beliefs, correct? And were the beliefs new revelation? No. And in fact, I'm going to tell you my understanding, Balaam would be Old Testament idolatry doctrine that was out there before. So Balaam was physical fornication that went to spiritual. We all together on that? Jezebel, what does she bring from the get-go? New revelation. So it's spiritual fornication bringing new revelation that she's trying to harmonize with church doctrine to negatively affect the servants of Christ. So one is physical going to spiritual, the other one is spiritual, and what kind of doctrine? New, trying to bring new revelation for doctrine. So on your notes I put the doctrine of practice, Balaam. By the way, why am I doing this? The reason I'm doing this, it says these are patterns of examples that we should not lust as they lusted. So I'm trying to pinpoint, I'm trying to get us all to think, not just you, me, trying to get us all to think and to grow and to look at what is the pattern here that we're to avoid certain lusts. So that's why this sheet, that's why the homework, get us to think. So the doctrine of Balaam, how is it a pattern that we need to watch out for that we don't participate with that? First of all, we already went through, what is it? It's a loss of separation. Israel was separated unto Jehovah and should have remained that way. Instead, here the world came in through sexual lust. So it's the sexual lust from the sin nature. Fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, uncleanness. So the doctrine of Balaam starts with these physical lusts of the flesh. Towards who? Someone that Israel was to be separated from. Put it into the New Testament, the church is over here, and what should who is a Christian to marry? Another Christian. It says that very clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says you're free to marry whomever you like, only in the Lord. By the way, I could go a little further with that, but that's safe for marriage counseling. In the Lord means you're both looking at your position under the headship of Christ, the Lord. So you look for a person who is a Christian, where? In the Lord, under the headship of Christ. So you look for that. How would the doctrine of Balaam, if you have those lusts of the flesh, fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, uncleanness? By the way, I'd say go look at Pastor Schaefer's notes because I don't have time to go through all of those, but those lusts are real. And they can pop into anyone's mind at any time. And with the doctrine of Balaam, it's towards a non-Christian. I don't want to fill your head full of all kinds of stories of I had in pastoring all these years. They're numerous. People who... Anyway. Then when you get yourself with someone you shouldn't be with, then you begin to spiritually fornicate by adopting their doctrines. And it changes. Okay. How is this, I put in your notes, different from regular idolatry? By the way, these are all idolatry. Idolatry was mentioned in the verse before. And in the verse before, idolatry that was mentioned is where you place anything alongside equal to Jehovah. And it could be anything in your life. Covetousness is idolatry. Dr. Northrup told me the story. He had to speak to somebody. He was with your dad. And he was down in California and they went to a conference and they stayed at this guy's house. And the guy said, I want to show you something. And they went into the guy's house and what they found out is that the guy really was idolatrizing a Cadillac that he had in there. And he covered it up. And the Cadillac dictated, as he told them, the Cadillac was the Lord over his life. Whether he went to church on Sunday, whether he didn't go to church on Sunday, was what the Cadillac needed. Oh, but the Cadillac has a parade on Sunday. I can't go to church. And he was always going to these parades and shows and all of this to show off this Cadillac that he kept covered. I don't know if they ever told you that story. Anyway, he had it all there. And he said he was an idolater. That's what Dr. Ben Northrup told me. He said this guy was an idolater. That Cadillac was the Lord over his life. It could be anything. Anything that you place alongside of Jehovah where it becomes Lord over you rather than you Lord over it and Christ the Lord over all of us. So, how does this differ than regular idolatry? Well, this was had the physical works of the flesh with someone you shouldn't be with that loses your separation to where now you begin to serve those things. I put here, what lust to be aware of here concerning this? We already mentioned them. Idolatry, fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, uncleanness. But then it goes to spiritual fornication, which would include what? Heresy. By the way, you could throw in the things, you know, this is your class, heresy. How about cliques? Remember that guy in Balaam? What did he do? He went up to Moses and before Jehovah and he said, phew, on you. And he took the girl and went into the tent and they fornicated right in front of Jehovah and Moses. And Phinehas took the spear, went in to the tent, boom, right through them both. That was cliquish. Separation in a hole. That's a work of the flesh. Okay, cliques. Anyway, you can add to this if you want. So that's what that was. And how does that differ from Jezebel? Jezebel was bringing revelation. Didn't necessarily have to do with fornicating of the flesh going there. She just brought revelation right there and said, this is new revelation. I'm speaking from God, and we need to add this to our practice. So what I've mentioned is in the doctrine of Balaam, where you have physical going to spiritual, again, I've seen, in fact, I have relatives right now that are involved in that. And I can't help them. You can only help somebody who wants help. With Jezebel, I also have people that we're dealing with right now. I've mentioned it to you before, where they're saying, these are new times. We have new revelation. We're enlightened people. We're enlightened people now today. By the way, that's what Tammy Baker said when she was preaching and pastoring a church. They said, the Bible says you're a female, you're not to do that. And she said, the times have changed and we have new revelation on this and it's okay for women to be pastors now today. That went on years ago. Tammy Faye Baker. Now it's into our churches. You don't have to be married. Just live together for a while. You got to see if you're compatible. I'll tell you, we've done a lot of marriage ceremonies, and I've never found a problem in that area with guys and gals when they get together on the honeymoon night. It's fine. But they're being taught today, you need to check it out whether you're sexually... This is an adult class. I hope I'm not embarrassed. You've got to check it out, see if you're sexually compatible first. What? It says in Hebrews 13, the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed is clean before God. But outside, it's unclean. But again, we're dealing with people when you talk to them and you say, what are you doing? You were over here and you were sleeping with this guy maybe 6 months ago. Now you broke up and now you're over here and you're fornicating with this guy. And now you're not hearing about him anymore. Who's next? And yet every Sunday they go to church. Baptist church. And the answer that was given to me, I've told you this before. It's okay today. Everyone's doing it. The Word of God is still the Word of God. No matter what revelation they're bringing in, whatever new doctrine they're bringing in, you still go and evaluate it by the Word of God. How is Jezebel unique form of idolatry? How is it unique? It makes grace license. It adds new revelation where it changes grace. Pretty much you have like 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Grace is license. You can do whatever you want. It's not. What lust to beware of concerning this? You not only have the flesh, which I mentioned, but there can also be satanic things. She's bringing different revelation, probably from a satanic spirit. By the way, what I didn't bring in is, this is my belief, and I got to get closing up here, but I have some other things I want to say. I didn't tell you, Jezebel, I think, is the beginning. We have continual sacrifice, Thyatira. And I think this doctrine that she brought in was probably a perversion of the Lordian table, where you have the continual sacrifice of the Eucharist, where in like the Roman Catholic Church, they're sacrificing Christ 365 days a year. Continual sacrifice. It's never enough. And they're always doing it. And they're making that wafer the physical body of Christ. It's not. It's the body of Christ that we're baptized into. It's not a physical thing. They really think it turns into a physical thing. And what children have offshooted from that? Well, you have the Reformed churches. And the Reformed churches have come off of that. And they have all kinds of sacramental system of works that they try to do. And so they say, well, we're different than the Catholics, that the wafer doesn't actually change into his actual body. But his physical body is like co in the same space. I forgot the names of those things. Transubstantiation. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And he's older than I am. You can remember. Okay, so these are all perversions. So you have children and offshoots that come off of this doctrine that have affected the church. So what do you watch out for? You watch out for, you look at the scriptures. Doesn't matter what new is coming along. What does the scripture say? And we go by the scriptures. So there's spiritual fornication with Jezebel. With here it says to beware of the doctrine of Balaam. The Balaam doctrine, which was physical fornication, that then quickly changed to spiritual fornication, because you begin to adopt other doctrines. If you're going to commit fornication here, then it's a slippery slope. I would say these things are real, and they do pull at your mind and all, and you have to watch out for them. And then what you need to do is keep your mind on things above. You need to say no to them. If you can't say no to them, then you need to use the truth to have victory over them. And then direct love to the other person. Because if you love the other person, you want the best for that other person. And following these paths is not to their best. It's not to their best. It's not to their family's best. It's not to anyone's best, your family. And so love will want the best for their maturity. And to get involved in a physical relationship that's going to then go to a doctrinal perversion isn't going to help the church, isn't going to help families, isn't going to help anyone. So it says, don't follow that pattern. So we're going to review these later on. We have to go now. But we're going to go back to the pattern of idolatry. It says, these are types that we should not lust. So there's the pattern of idolatry. There's a pattern of fornication. We haven't got to the... We're going to start, oh boy, maybe this next time, on tempting Christ. Putting Christ to temptation. That's the next section. I would say to read it. I did a lot of study in this. They translated, put not Christ to the test or tempt him. But that word is the word temptation with a preposition in front of it, ek. And you have to really study it out to see. It's intensified, but what does it mean? Finally found. It's used specifically in certain, like where Christ is being tempted of the devil in the wilderness. It's used there. It says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And we'll look at that, but it means to put him to the test for ultimate proof to distinguish that you're genuine. We'll look at that. And that's the next one, the type. Okay. Father, thank you for this time together. Look forward to the morning service. In Christ's name, amen.